Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1424, air date April 11th, 2024.
All right, everyone. Good evening. This is Dr. Shiva Adre. It's about a quarter after nine. This event that we do is every Thursdays at 8 p.m. It's we begin with the Shiva for President Town Hall, and then we go into our open house. We've already started it, and we've introduced a number of new people who've come to the Town Hall. We have a lot of veterans who also come. And each week, we take on a different topic. And those topics are meant not to be just sort of theoretical topics, but to engage people in the importance of them getting off their butts and building a movement. It's always a common theme. And this is a very, very hard phenomenon for all people to understand sometimes, because there's a tremendous amount of effort taken by those in power to make sure that people actually never understand why you actually have to build a movement. And this, it may seem very simple, but I would say it's one of the most profound things in life to actually understand what is a movement and why we actually have to build a movement. So we do these town halls with the goal of inspiring more and more people to get this concept. And without these town halls, it would be very difficult, because you don't have only have a finite set of people really understanding this. So that's what we do every week in the town halls on Thursday. So that's, I just wanted to level set with people what the purpose of these are. I think I have two windows here. One second, guys. What would happen if I close this window? I don't want to do something. One second. Okay. If I tend to close this window, I just want to make sure I don't have, oh, here we go. It's not two windows. Okay. What we want to talk about today is a couple of days. Some of you may know on Easter, I put out I replayed a video of something that I had done about 3 years ago on the life of Christ. In fact, it was on it was on Easter. And what I shared was an analysis of Christ's life. In fact, 7 days before he was, you know, what they call crucified. And in that conversation, yeah, everyone should go find it. You can find it up online. After that, one of our leaders called me, and he said we had a very devout Christian, Hispanic Christian, down in the South, and he wanted to talk to me. Okay, so he and I had a long conversation. So, you know, I went to Catholic school in India. Most of the schools in India, if you want to get any education, are actually run by Catholics. Because, you know, the Catholic Church had a huge recruitment effort in India, which was essentially they'd give food, or they'd give clothing, or they'd give education as a way to find new converts. So, you know, the aspect of Christianity is not new to me, but I've been fascinated with the life of Christ, as I've been fascinated with the life of Buddha and all these different religious leaders, as well as political leaders, because my quest was to understand why there was a caste system in India. Why is it a small set of people think it's okay to subjugate everyone else? It really bothered me since I was a four-year-old kid. So I've studied, you know, the works of Christ from all different perspectives, religious perspectives, you know, the letters of Josephus. There's a whole body of work. You guys can do your own research. But one of the things that emerges out of all of this is that the religious organized religions do not want us to talk about the life of Christ. Organized religions do not want to talk about the life of Buddha, okay? They want to make these people into some icons, harmless icons. So whenever one of these great teachers lives, they are vilified, actually. They're actually attacked, abused, hounded. And after they die, an effort is done to make these people some type of icon, you know? Buddha in the meditation pose. That's what you think about, right? When you think of Buddha, right? Or Christ on the cross. And it is a way of consoling the large majority of people who actually had great love for these people. But part of the duplicity that takes place is when these religions come along and they talk about these religions, they never want to really talk about what the person actually did. Okay? They want to ignore the actual reality. So I wanted to talk about that because it's very, very related to our movement. You say, because if you are a Christian or a Buddhist, and you can go down the list, or a Hindu, the Hindu leader was by the name of Sankaracharya. All of these leaders, there's a spiritual aspect, there's a faith aspect, but you cannot divorce that from how these people lived. Christ, in the case of Christ, if you look at the actions he took, the actual actions, the material actions he took that you cannot ignore. People like to take words of people that they say heaven and earth, you know, this earth life that you live in, you know, there's a better life after. Well, they assume that when people refer to the earth, they're talking about the physical earth, not about consciousness. And when you put the context of these people's words into consciousness, you get a very, very different view. So in the aspect of Christ, Christ was obviously a revolutionary of his time. There's no doubt he was that. There's enough, you know, references in the Bible to talk about that. He was against the status quo at a fundamental level, and that's one of the key lessons people need to take away. Whether spiritually or materially, you cannot divorce these two worlds. He was against the status quo of the time. Obviously, the Romans saw him as a threat, as with what we call the obvious establishment. But 90% of Christ's life was fighting the not-so-obvious establishment. The people who claimed that they were the agents of God, people who spoke the words of God perfectly. They were the rabbis, and they were the manipulators, right? And one group was the Sadducees, a very large group of the priesthood who knew all the scriptures. But if you wanted to go to their temple, in those days, people wanted to do animal sacrifices, a sacrifice of God from the Old Testament. If you wanted to go into one of their temples and you brought your own animal to sacrifice, they said, no, you cannot come here with your animal. You have to leave that out. And after you come in, you have to buy our animals, okay? So it's a racket that they were running. It had nothing to do with anything to do with God. And there are at least three incidents in the Bible where Christ, you know, did what were called temple cleansings, where he beat the shit out of these guys. And 99% of Christians do not want to talk about these incidents. Oh, that was just some anomalous event. And if you study it carefully, the Sadducees were running like the Walmart, the Costco's of religion, right? Big guys. There were also the local 7-Elevens of religion, and that were the Pharisees. Now, when Christ overturned and he exposed the not-so-obvious establishment, the Pharisees thought, oh, he's going against our competitor, like 7-Eleven going against Walmart, right? So they tried to befriend him. Well, it took a little while for Christ to figure out these guys were also the same scumbags. And he did the same and he exposed them. Well, 7 days before Christ was crucified, the Pharisees and the Sadducees both got together. You see, when you attack the establishment and the not-so-obvious establishment, they all come together. In the modern world, in our movement, it would be the Kennedys and the Trumps, and all of these guys will come together, especially when a movement builds, exposing them for what they are. And at the time of Christ, on a political level, and you cannot forget the politics, you can't just say, well, Christ said, I repent for my sins, I'll go to another world and it's all over so I can be a complete asshole while I'm here. That's not what he said. And religion has built itself on absolving people of their actions. And Christ's entire life was action. And 90% of his life were going after the not so obvious establishment. And those are the people that crucified him, not the obvious establishment, but the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So one of the key things to learn from this is that when you look at the life of Christ, he was uncompromising. He was articulate. He didn't cower. All these people who say, oh, I'm for medical freedom, but they do not expose Booby fucking Kennedy, who promoted lockdowns. You see, the life of Christ teaches us you can't just be, you know, talking the truth. You have to walk the truth. Christ walked the truth, and that's why he was crucified. You know, you can talk about, well, this was preordained, etc. Fine. Those things do not, you know, contradict the reality that Christ's life was one of action. So I always tell Christians, if you're a Christian and you're saying, well, I want to be apolitical, or you support Zionism, well, you're really fucked up. That's not Christianity. And so our movement looks at things from a systems perspective, even religious, quote unquote, spiritual things. And we recognize spirituality or materialism, the material world, it's ultimately one continuum of information, matter, and energy. It's very powerful when you look at it this way. And when you take this perspective, you have to deal with the aspect of consciousness, right? So we can talk about Christianity, and you can talk about heaven and earth. And one of the contradictions is, if there is a heaven and it is a place where it's of absolute perfection, well, then why was Lucifer imperfect, that he had evil thoughts wanting to overthrow God? Doesn't make sense. That means as high as you go, it doesn't mean that it's the end. It is about consciousness. So when Christ said he's not of this earth, he meant of this consciousness. So we have to start talking about consciousness. Because whether it's a material world or the spiritual world or heaven, you could go very high and you could also fall. So it's about consciousness. So Christ's life was about applying that consciousness in action to give other people experience of what occurs when you take actual action. And so in that same vein, our movement is about action. And that is why when Crystal was talking to this earlier gentleman, very happy to have you here. We want you to learn, but we're going to tell you to take some actions. Get on the ground and help us collect signatures. Pass out a flyer. Learn how to be a leader. And there's nothing here to be upset about, because the reality is there is no movement right now until we came along, meaning a real movement of by the people, for the people, walking the walk. And that's what we do. And because we walk the walk, we will be shadow banned. We will be censored. But it doesn't matter, because we've had massive impact, as everyone knows, as the videos that Crystal played. Our impact has been enormous. Our impact is so enormous that they must try to make us absolutely invisible and actually imitate what we say. Plagiarize what we say to manipulate people to stay with the establishment. In the time of Christ, it was the Romans. And you can replace Sadducee and Pharisee with the words of Bernie Sanders or, Donald Trump. Same things. I'm talking about in a very factual manner of these people talk the talk, but they have nothing to do with walking the walk. And you can look at their lives, how they live their lives. They openly tell you personal integrity does not mean public integrity. They're telling you to your face. They're spitting in your face. Let's talk about the life of Buddha. Some of you may know the life of Gautama Buddha. Buddha was not just sitting in a meditative pose all day. He was quite a scholar himself, but he experienced life. Buddha was born into a situation where he started questioning the sufferings of life. That made him go on his journey in action. He thought the way that you find truth is by doing great penances, you know, becoming an ascetic, not eating, right? Practicing very, very harsh yoga practices. And he went through that journey and he realized, wow, that doesn't really work that well. Okay. And then he realized the goal was actually to live this world, in this world, but to see things as they are with great compassion for all life. And that was Buddha's journey. He came up with something called the Eightfold Path. But ultimately, at the time of Buddha, he also took on the establishment. You see, in those days, people were doing massive number, all the Brahmins in the Hindu religion were just killing animals left and right. You know, they were just telling people to kill animals, do animal sacrifices, and they charge people for that. Sounds similar? Like the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So Buddha's life was coming out against that in a very powerful way. And on top of it, he wanted to educate people how to see things as they are. That was his, one of his fundamental missions, to remove the illusion, the Maya, M-A-Y-A, that's what illusion means, but to see things as they truly are, not how we want them to be. Oh, Trump is a nice guy, he said all this great stuff. Ooh, he's getting persecuted, quote unquote, right? He wanted people to see things as they truly are. And those were the practices that Buddha involved by teaching people in his last sermon that he gave, how to observe sensations. You know, we teach in Truth, Freedom, Health, a scientific system, engineering system, where we have intersected the nine principles of engineering with ancient systems of medicine. That missing link is a very fundamental, powerful knowledge base that we teach all of our people. It's engineering system science, but made accessible. Without that knowledge, you will never be able to really wheedle your way out of seeing how powerful the establishment is and how weak they also are and what we can do to win. So that knowledge I've made accessible to everyone. In addition to that, through a lot of hard work of many people on this call and others, we've had to move in a diligent process of taking people from all different backgrounds, giving them a framework to learn and relearn and relearn and relearn and teach, and then getting on the ground and helping to build an actual movement, which is of us. And most recently, so, you know, the net of it is, if you look at the life of Buddha and Christ, these extraordinary human beings, you know, people say, you know, was Christ the Son of God? Well, if you believe love, truth, compassion, or God, then he was the Son of God, definitely. And, but more importantly than to canonize Christ, you know, on a cross all day and not live his deeds and his words, right? In my view, that's hypocrisy. And you can have your own opinion on that. But in my view, that's deep hypocrisy. And that's not what Christ really talked about and what his life was about. Buddha's life about was removing ignorance, because he felt ignorance was the cause of all suffering. So if 8 billion people on this planet suffer today, it's from ignorance, lack of knowledge, lack of not information, but knowledge. Knowledge is very, very different than information. Knowledge allows you to get to wisdom. Information through the lens of ignorance essentially creates more bondage. That's what all these people exist to do. They take the whole and they give you little pieces. And you have to take a systems approach to understanding the whole. So that's the breakthrough of what our movement has uncovered. Our movement has literally bridged, in many ways, science and spirituality, East and West, ancient and modern, tradition and science. That's what we've done. It's quite profound. It took me 50 years to uncover this knowledge, make it accessible. And what we share here is to inspire you and to let you know there's a community of people who are building a movement. And guess what? Our movement is based on engineering system science. And anyone can get access to this. So, you know, my run for president is quite unique. Our movement is quite unique. The people that participate in our movement are quite extraordinary people. They're going through their own journey, self-reflecting. But we take people through this process of consciousness raising, taking action, giving people experiences, consciousness raising, taking action, you know, having experiences. And you do this process of refinement. And that is what we're doing. So it was our movement that has always been on the forefront. We not just tell the truth. Any idiot can now, quote unquote, tell the truth. Half-truths, most of them do. But we tell the truth at the right time, so we can mobilize action to shatter the storm. That's what we do. Tucker Carlson doesn't do that. Bobby Kennedy doesn't do that. Donald Trump doesn't do that. They're the Sadducees and the Pharisees of our time. They're pure evil. And our movement exposes that. Our movement not just exposes it, but in a very tangible way. In every part of the United States now, we have leaders who are learning how to organize people. They're not going to learn that at their school. They don't learn that anywhere else. And if they did want to learn it at the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard Business School, they're going to pay $400,000, $500,000 because he sent their children, their exploiters, to those schools where they learn system science, and they don't make it accessible to everyone. So what we're doing is really a noble, noble service, because we're taking education, removing the veil of ignorance so you could pierce the darkness. That's what Buddha was about, similar to Christ. But Christ was a little more direct in people's face. He took on the Sadducees and the Pharisees. So our movement has truth, freedom, health. We're fighters. We're healers, and we're thinkers. So if you want to think, fight, and heal, and you're involved in this movement, become leaders. You know, I am directly working with leaders directly. There's a lot of knowledge that needs to be advanced, and that's what we're committed to do. So if you made it this far and you're new, welcome. But get involved right away. Don't think about it. Go take the course, get connected with the local group leader, and get involved. We have a lot of work to do, but the important thing is our movement exists. This framework exists. And it's never existed on this planet Earth before, but it's here. Thank you. We'll take some questions. Crystal, we'll take some questions. It's 9:37. Let's take around 20 minutes of questions from people. We also have questions coming in online. Let me see what those questions are. Let me see how people are doing. So to everyone listening, by the way, if you're new, please go get one of these bumper stickers. It's a very tangible way that you can help Shiva for President, because it shows that you have great courage. If you peel one of these bumper stickers off and you put it on the back of your car, because it shows that you've taken a stand, that you want truth, freedom, health, and you're not into some very reductionist thinking, oh, I don't know if he can win, Trump is winning, you know, this lesser of two evils nonsense. That's the first thing you can do. Second thing is go to Shiva4president.com, click on the downloads tab, and you'll see a flyer. That flyer details what they have been doing to us for nearly the last 60 years, which is destroying the health of our children. Now, we make it so easy, and in spite of the swarm for 60 years killing your children, because why do I say that? Your child's lifespan is going to be shorter than yours as of now. Think about that. That is a very powerful indicator of the fact that those in power do not like you. They want to kill you and your children. So, and there's no way tweaking this. The only way out of this is to shatter the swarm. So go to Shiva for President, get that bumper sticker, or go to shattertheswarm.com. Get that bumper sticker, hand it out to people. This is a very simple thing. You can educate people in one little 8.5 by 11 flyer. We made it easy for you to hand out. That took a lot of innovation to do that, a one-page flyer. Well, use it. Get involved. And then finally, to those people in the United States, you can help us get on the ballot in the United States. We have a historic lawsuit going on, two historic lawsuits. We're on the ground, and we need you to help us get on the ballot. Now, when you help us get on the ballot, you're not helping me. You're actually helping yourself, because you learn a tremendous amount face-to-face, how the corruption occurs, how you face with it, how you deal with it, and how you overcome it. You become strong. You know, you don't become whining, oh my God, this is happening, I don't know what to do, what to do. I keep saying, Indians in India will say, what to do? And India is one of the most corrupt places. We don't want America to be a what to do place, okay? You don't need to say what to do, because we know exactly what to do, all right? So, Crystal, let's take some questions. By the way, keep your question to, keep it to, yeah, 1 second, Crystal. Keep it to 30 seconds, and so we can move this along and just be mindful. Keep your questions precise and clear. Thanks, Crystal. They don't have to be questions either. We can end early. All right. We've had a long day. We have had a long day here in Boston. It's been since 5 a.m. to a couple hours ago, working out in the yard, cutting lots and lots of trees. So, there's some stuff in there. No, so I just want to let everyone know that one of the important things, yeah, let me just say, I think, oh, good. People have said print the flyer. Yeah, what I want to end with is the following. In a very practical way to everyone listening, we promised in January that we were going to start delivering solutions. And every one of you could start becoming an agent of delivering solutions. So we very, very methodically started sharing with you those solutions. But more importantly, these are solutions that you can be an agent of delivering those solutions. The first solution is Truth Freedom Health, which is really an institute for leadership. And, you know, I used to teach at the MIT Sloan School, which is, I think, the second rated business school in the world. But the knowledge you learn here is far surpasses what you can learn at Harvard Business School, Stanford Business School, any of those schools. So get involved in the Truth Freedom Health Institute. Go through the leadership program, okay? Start with the warrior program and go through it. That's the solution. Becoming leaders. Second solution is in the area of health and medicine and wellness. Doctors don't know how the body is a system. They learn a wartime medicine. Tomorrow, Crystal will put up, we have our tutorial. We have created an educational curriculum, an advanced educational curriculum with a business model. So if you want to leave your corporate world, or if you want to actually do something meaningful, the Systems Health Institute, again, this came out of my work after my Fulbright in 2007. It's the merging of Eastern medicine with Western engineering system science. And this educational system, it's really a technology platform, allows you to become wiser, more intuitive, and become a leader. You can call it a health coach. You can become your own yogi, guru, whatever you want to call it. But you will learn how to navigate through all these different solutions. Oh, there's ketogenic diet. Oh, should I eat raw food? Should I do this? The establishment is throwing so much shit out there. 52% of people find it more confusing to figure out what to eat than they even know how to do their taxes. And this is by design, because the establishment, many of these quote unquote alternative health coaching programs are run by the establishment, and they just don't give you any framework to look at all of these things and find out what's right for you or students you want to help. So tomorrow there's a tutorial, and we've created a solution where you can become a systems health educator. You can even start a business doing that. So you can leave some other crappy job that if you don't like, or if you're a nurse or you're a doctor, you can become a better nurse or a doctor, or a yoga teacher or chiropractor. So that's a second tangible solution. The third solution we talked about day before was, you know, over the past 10 years, I and our research center created a certification for food, supplements, everything. It's called Clean Food Certification. It came out of an initial work that I did, that I was asked to do for the raw food movement by all different stakeholders. And that has now evolved into a bottoms up food certification program, which means, when I say bottoms up, which means we, the people, have created that certification, not the USDA organic, which comes from top down, or the GMO certification. This is a bottoms up certification. And without very little advertising, very little thing, you'll see products, and it's a very higher standard. So you guys can use this certification. You can bring new ideas to it. When we did a talk yesterday, from an environment perspective, people were saying, you know, what's the quality of our eggs? What's the quality of our raw milk or milk? So we have the framework to actually certify foods using a systems approach. That's a third solution. The fourth solution we have is that for the last 16 years, You guys know out of my PhD work, we created a technology without the need for animal testing. We can discover in the biological science what's real, what isn't. And this has been a very, very long process because we've had to publish in all the major journals. We've published in the establishment journals because our stuff is works. They don't know what to do with us. And because of the competition among journals, they'll actually publish our stuff so someone else that doesn't. But this framework allows you to become a scientist, a citizen scientist. You can take a topic of interest that you have. Wow, does 5G cause cancer? Well, you can go raise funds for it. We will give you the platform to do research on that. So think about what we've done. Science, food, healthcare, the environment, and leadership. We've covered all those. I do want to open up an institute for legal studies where I want to teach you guys how to file lawsuits. So we have this infrastructure now. We are resource rich in terms of solutions. And we need you guys to learn these and get it out in your local communities. That's why you need a movement. And in 2024, we are delivering solutions. We've called out all of these people and we'll continue to. But we want to deliver solutions, in which we have those solutions. They're tangible solutions. But most importantly, they're solutions you can deliver. Not like me doing the work for you. I've done a lot of videos, guys, a lot of work. But I need you guys to do the work, and I've given you the tools. You know, give a man food, whatever, he'll eat a couple of days. Give a man to fish, you know, he'll survive longer. These tools that we've created are those, you know, fishing poles that you can use as much as you want. So let's go to Jessica Kalstad. And then we'll go to John Wong, Garrett, Peter, and Anya. So again, we want you to take 30 seconds to 1 minute just to raise a question. Go ahead, Jessica. Crystal, can you unmute Jessica, please? Thanks. So to people on social media, this is our live town hall that we do. You won't find other presidential candidates doing these lives because they're afraid of what questions people may ask. They don't have their scripted answers. Everything we do is open to the public and live. Go ahead, Crystal. Go ahead, Jessica. Yep. How are you? Yeah, so I think, you know, let's take a systems approach to this. Moms for Liberty supports Trump, don't they? Yeah, you may want to check. Let me tell you why. So about around the 1970s, Jessica, okay, 60s and 70s, academics in the humanities departments, every major institution, Jessica, they got together And their theoretician was a guy by, the, you know, among many others, Noam Chomsky, okay? Okay, now listen very, very carefully to this. Those in power want working people fighting among each other, okay? They do not want us as working people mobilizing against them. They do not want a bottom-up workers' movement. You follow? So they want to dissuade everyone from building these bottoms-up movements that are workers' movements that go to the heart of the real issue of how 0.0001% of people control 8 billion people. You follow? So as a part of that strategy, they decided, actually had decisions, I can do a whole video on this, that we have to make sure that we make the sexuality issue the divisive issue, okay? So all the working people are talking about, oh my God, you know, can you believe they're showing these pornographic pictures in class? This was by design, Jessica. All right, hold on. Crystal, what is it? Oh, hold on. You guys can't hear me? Oh, hold on. Let me see what's going on. One second. I'm going to switch to a different microphone, okay? No. Wait. Is that better? Oh, it's not good? Let me find out what's going on here. Can people hear me online? Huh. It may be, Crystal, it's just a bandwidth issue. Yeah, people say they can hear me online. On this side, let me go to... Oh, really? It says I'm unmute. It says I'm unmuted. Huh. Let me go back to... Well, I know how to do this. I think Zoom has a phone number I could call into, right? Okay. So do you have that number? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and come back in, okay? Yeah, I'm going to go out and come back in, okay? So everyone on StreamYard, just hold 1 second. And we'll come right back. All right, everyone, I think we're back. Let me just do a sound check. Can everyone hear us? We had some interesting issue. Okay, good. So people can hear us there. Let me just go back in. Let me just bring our Zoom people in to make sure they can hear us. All right, here we go. All right, let me go back to Zoom here. All right, everyone. So we had an interesting question that just came up. This is, by the way, if you're signing in, this is our town hall that we do every week. And we just did a talk. I just gave a brief presentation about, what the real life of Jesus and Buddha meant. And then we're doing a follow-up now on questions with our town hall folks on Zoom. If you guys have any questions, you can just put it in right in the box on the right, and we'll bring it up for others to answer. But we're going to be wrapping up shortly. I just want to make sure we're respectful to the people who are waiting for a question. Okay, I think we're back. Crystal, can you hear me now? Crystal? Hello, hello? Hello? Crystal, can you hear me? Crystal, can you hear me? All right, yeah. So there was something, I'm not sure what's going on. It happens when we're trying to do dual broadcast with stream. Oh, you can't hear anymore? Okay, hold on. Let me go back to the other microphone. How's that? Hello? Can you hear me now? Hello? All right. What I'm going to do is, Crystal, so to everyone up on StreamYard, I wish you well, but we're going to continue this here. But anyway, I hope you enjoyed this, but get involved in our movement. Go get a bumper sticker. Go to Shiva for President. Thank you. Be well. Be the light. Thank you.